10 years can be an eternity in the internet age. When you think back 10 years, Larry Page and Sergey Brin were working on something called Backrub, a precursor to Google, which wouldn't even open up for another year. Comdex had maxed out at 225,000 attendees in 1997. Now it doesn't even exist anymore. Think back what applications you were using in 1997 and what technology. For a technology firm to last and grow through all the challenges that 10 years can bring, it's a real achievement. John Hill started Aztec 10 years ago and has learned a lot in this past decade. In this podcast, John tells us how Aztec started and how they've been able to grow and thrive. So listen to John's advice for entrepreneurs. Maybe you too will be celebrating your 10th anniversary someday.
Coming to you from the world-renowned Magnum Building on beautiful Payne Avenue in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, it's the entrepreneur himself, Dan Hansen, bringing you the Great Lakes Geek Show.
Today we're speaking with John Hill, President and CEO of Aztec. John, Aztec's about to celebrate its 10-year anniversary. Tell us how you got started.
Really, I had spent a lot of time with several different consulting organizations, some very, very small, some very, very large, and I learned a lot of what to do and what not to do, and two of the biggest areas that I saw a need were, number one, how to treat employees good, and also, number two, how to treat clients good. And so when I first got started, it was purely a custom software development shop, and I was a one-man show for the first 6 months. And quickly, we evolved into a web design and development firm. 6 months into it, adding my first employee, Keith Rowe, who is still our chief information officer. And we've been very excited to have made it to our 10-year anniversary. And currently, we have the best team that we've ever had and are really looking forward to the future.
All right. Now, I know you're mostly provide Microsoft solutions. How'd you get involved with the Microsoft products?
That's very interesting because that was a decision I made very, very early on. When the web industry first started to get going, there were several competing products, and some of those are still out there and they're okay. But I looked at, when we look at the web, we look at two real distinct groups, and we've got the creative side of things, which is the user interface, and then we've got the back end. Application, which from a basic e-commerce website to a large content management system, and I looked at what was very strong and has continued to be very strong on the Microsoft platform, from their database and SQL Server to the development tools, and we just made a conscious decision that we are 100% Microsoft shop. In addition, on the creative side, we are 100% Adobe shop, and everything we use, the new Creative Suite. Everything we use on the creative side is an Adobe product.
Well, it's hard to argue with those two choices. The industry itself has changed so much in the last 10 years. 10 years ago, Google didn't even have their doors open. They didn't come around until a year later. With all these changes, how do you and your employees keep current?
Well, it's interesting because one of the things I want to talk about today is how both Microsoft and Adobe has done an incredible job of keeping their tools in the forefront. And you're right, it's a huge effort on our part because we can't fall behind. We can't be the 10th guy in town to absorb .NET and embrace .NET. We have to be the first guy in town, the second guy in town. And luckily, we've had the fortune of working with some very great clients who have allowed us to push the technology envelope with their project. And I'm not saying do things just because they're cool. I'm saying do things that actually have impact their business and help them solve their business objectives. So we're a group that works very, very hard, and we're constantly doing continuing education. We're constantly allowing our junior people to get involved in a good example now is we've basically moved everything over to .NET 2.0. And we're no longer developing in 1.1, and we're certainly no longer developing in classic ASP. And so as we bring these junior kids along, they're embracing the technology. And we've got some very, very smart kids coming out of these colleges in our area right now. And I think the colleges are starting to realize that let's teach kids what's happening right now in the technology world. Let's not, as an example, when I was going through school, I was learning COBOL. Absolutely crazy because I actually never worked and programmed in COBOL. I was, instantly into the PC arena with Power Builder and then quickly into the Microsoft products. So It's tough, but we are always we're constantly upgrading our software. We're staying current, and you know, the people here are working very hard to learn it and be very, very skilled with it.
Well, I can relate because I was learning Fortran back in school, so haven't even though there is a visual Fortran out there, I guess, but that's pretty crazy. You mentioned some of these kids and all. Have you had has it been easy or difficult to find quality trained people in the Cleveland area?
It's certainly a challenge, but one of the things that we've made a very conscious effort to do is get to know a lot of the correct people at these universities in town, and we've got a couple professors that actually give us calls when they've got a really bright kid coming up that you know, has expressed an interest in staying in town. You know, we've got some companies in town, technology companies that are very large and you know, sometimes have the market cornered with this talent. So we feel that you know, when we're looking to fill these junior roles, we feel the best thing to do is to get very friendly with these colleges, and often they give us a heads up on when somebody good's coming out.
Good idea. You know, a lot of people would say IT has just become a part of business, and because it's so mainstreamed, there's shelves of canned solutions, off-the-shelf solutions out there that a business should be able to just go out and pick one and, you know, plop their money down and implement it. Why do you stay away from these off-the-shelf solutions?
But really, when I first started, my sole focus was a custom firm. And really, when you look at, and you're right, there are an absolute outrageous amount of canned software products out there. And about the only one that we truly will never touch is an accounting solution. There are some great, Microsoft's got a great solution. There are several other very good solutions. But the reality is, if companies are looking for a web application, the last thing they want to do is actually change their business processes. They've worked very hard to determine what these processes are, and they're being successful with those. So the last thing they want to do is buy an off-the-shelf web interface to interface into an ERP system that's going to completely change the way they and their customers do business. That's where we come in, and we can analyze what their business processes are and, in essence, write this software, this application, to fill their needs.
Do you have a particular vertical market or market segment that you specialize in? And about how many clients or solutions have you worked on over these 10 years?
Well, that's an interesting question with the verticals. We made a very conscious effort years ago to never specialize in a vertical, i.e., be the firm that does websites for law firms or for the healthcare industry. Two sides of the coin is our creative people. If I told them that, okay, we are going to focus solely on law firms, well, they probably stay around for a couple months and then they'd leave. They would become very, very stale very quickly. In addition, from the application development side, we've been in so many different types of industries. I think we've done work in about 20 to 25 different industries. Because we've had that business experience, we bring things to the table that we learned from a distributor that might actually apply to a law firm. And our clients are now coming to us because we never niched ourselves into a vertical, and we've just got this huge experience with business, and that's made us very, very successful. I know we've worked with over 500 clients in our 10 years, and some of those clients we've done, you know, one or two solutions for. Other clients we've done 20, 30 solutions for.
You know, when I think back 10 or so years, it was almost possible for an individual to be a jack of all trades. Maybe if you knew Fox Pro or Excel and Lotus Notes and a couple applications, you could be that jack of all trades and basically know all there was. Is that still possible in this modern day, to be a jack of all trades?
I don't think so. And some of the things that we've done over the past is, when we first got going, we used to do network support. We certainly had the talent on staff to do that. We made a very conscious decision not to do that anymore. We could do it. I wouldn't say we were great at it. We were good at it. But there are other firms out there that specialize in that. And so those are things that we've decided not to do. Where we sit today is we're a website design and development firm, and then we provide ancillary services around that, which can be, we've got a data center where we host websites, data, email. We do search engine optimization, search engine marketing. We do some offline creative as far as brochures and logo design, identity, things like that. To touch on a jack of all trades, some of some of the people in town refer to a position as a web developer, and I'm a firm believer in that position actually does not exist. We've got true creative people that are fine artists and graphic designers, and then we've got software developers, and we've gotten my management team and I have been able to put these two very unique types of people together in the same environment and get them to work very well together. So I think that jack of all trades is certainly going away. It's probably always going to exist at an individual, you know, that might do some side work here and there. Hey, I need you to help me with my printer. Oh, by the way, I need, you know, a couple of Excel macros written for me and maybe a little piece of software. But I think the people that are looking to hire the firms to do these larger projects, that's going to go away.
You know, in these last 10 years, how has the business climate in general and specifically in Northeast Ohio here in Cleveland changed?
It's been interesting because if you were to look at our client list 9 years ago, it would have been loaded with manufacturers and distributors. And we certainly still have a lot of clients that are manufacturers and distributors just because we're in Cleveland, Ohio, but we're seeing, you know, much more service-based businesses come into Cleveland and be very successful at it. The other thing that has really changed is just all the technology advances from, you know, the mobile messaging to the pace of the business environment. Just because we've been in technology, we've always been at a little bit faster pace, I would think. But now the client expectations are, you know, sometimes they're crazy. They will send us emails at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night and expect something to happen almost immediately. And you know, a lot of times, if there is an emergency, that's fine, and that's why we have these tools and technology to be in touch with people. But a lot of times, the expectations are that when they think of something, they want it done. And so that's been a definite change, but we're very excited about the city of Cleveland. We see some good things happening, and you know, we're having a great year this year, as we did in 2006, and we're kind of a reflection of how the overall economy is doing, because sometimes people will cut spending on, you know, technology solutions and or, you know, their website if things are looking bad. So we're very encouraged right now.
Well, that's good news, and I know that a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs and they have startup businesses or they're 1 or 2 years old. Is there any advice you can give them and how to, you know, they want to make their 10-year anniversary? What are a few key lessons or tips you can give them to help them make that 10 years?
First and foremost is it was very hard for me to come to grips with the fact that I couldn't do everything myself. When I first got going, I was incredibly busy working very, very long hours, but I also thought, okay, this is great. In essence, all this money is for me, but my real goal was not to be a one-man show. It was to grow a firm. So I've been very, very lucky. I've mentioned Keith Rowe. He's been with me 9.5 years. I've got another probably 6 to 7 people that have been with me 6, 7, 8 years. And the thing that is very important for an entrepreneur is to learn, number one, how to delegate, number two, how to trust, because without the trust, the delegation of tasks is going to be worthless because you're going to be double checking everything. The other thing that I was burned on very early on was professional services, and I'm lumping that together, but meaning my lawyer and my accountant. When I first got going, I didn't see the need to spend the money that I needed to spend to bring these people in, and actually I got burned by both by my accountant and my attorney. And, you know, we use some very good firms in town now, and it's truly, with those firms, you're getting what you pay for. And, yes, you're paying a lot of money, but you're also getting some great services. And, you know, these people are on your team, and you almost need to embrace them as with your accountant and your lawyer and introduce them to each other, because they're really part of your team. They're an extended part. They're not on your payroll, but if big things are going on at your company, they need to be involved in that, and they need to know, and they need to help you plan. So those are two of the big things that I can pass on.
You know, you said you get what you pay for, and you were talking about the accounting and legal and all that. But I think that's something that a lot of people misunderstand with technology. A lot of people, maybe their nephew has played with Front Page and, you know, did some websites for the school band and things like that, and they think that it's pretty much a commodity thing that any teenage kid can do. They're often burned there, just like you were burned with your accountant and lawyer. It's a case where you get what you pay for with technology, maybe even more so than professional services, isn't it?
Absolutely. it's been interesting because if you look back 9 years ago in our industry, people wanted to build a website to have a website, or they'd say to us, hey, you know, our competitor has a website, so we want to have one also. And now when you look at the industry, a website is truly now an extension of that company's brand, and it can't be, they can't have a brochure and a business card and identity package put together and then have a website that's done by, you know, a nephew sitting in his basement or a freelancer sitting in his basement that can't represent the brand that company has worked so hard to create. It's funny you bring that up, because 6 years ago in Cleveland, Ohio, there were probably hundreds of people that we used to compete against. And that could have been a freelancer, a small shop, 2-3 people, a larger firm. And now really where we sit in Cleveland, there are a select few great firms. And we are now competing against those firms daily. And we're not really hearing the, oh, well, I'm going to quote you, another firm, and then my nephew. It seems to go away because people are now realizing what they can do. Their website is much more useful of a tool now than it was even 5 years ago, where people are actually realizing, hey, we can do, a quick example is, we can do a Salesforce extranet, and we can allow our distributed Salesforce to communicate much better through the proposal writing process, the contract writing process. And so people are putting a lot of stock into their website now, and I think we're going to very quickly see that niece or nephew, at least with the types of firms we deal with and the types of firms our competitors deal with, I think we're going to see that small little competitor go away.
All right, now the final question, John. How are you celebrating the big 10th anniversary?
Well, for the 10th anniversary, we are going to have a nice party out at Sweetbriar Golf Club, which is a client of ours out in Avon Lake. And it's a beautiful setting. They've got a brand new 9-hole course going in there, which will make it a 36-hole course. And we're just, you know, we're inviting, obviously all the employees will be there. We're inviting family, clients, friends who've really helped us make us as successful as we are today.
Well, congratulations on the 10th. That's a remarkable achievement. We've been speaking with John Hill, the president and CEO of Aztec Technology. Thanks a lot, John.
Thank you, Dan.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.